Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix podcast. Dan Bach talks to the biggest personalities in DFS, delivers commentary on the industry's most important topics, and gives you the advice you need to help build winning lineups.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head games, you are just going to lose.
You didn't really think we were going to get rid of that, did you?
Here's your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome once again to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast for you on this Wednesday. Dan Bach in the driver's seat as always, and excited for our show today. Obviously, we had a big announcement yesterday pertaining to an acquisition over at Roto Grinders. We're going to talk about that today, and we'll be joined by David Kitchen, that's right, of the Fantasy Insiders. Before we get to that, though, quick thank you to Fantasy Draft for their fine sponsorship of this show. Make sure you check them out. Use that promo code Grinders. We've already talked about the Carolina Million, which is their first foray into an NFL Live Final. And remember, this weekend, $25,000 free roll. I know it's preseason. You might be like, Dan, I don't want to play preseason football. It's 25 grand up for grabs in prizes and tickets over on Fantasy Draft. And it's week three, so at least you can build your lineup with real players rather than speculating maybe on the third string wide receiver and running back and tight end. So give it a look today. Again, great stuff for them this football season. Player block over there, 25 different players. So I think that's really impressive when you consider the probably the number of higher volume guys we see this football season with the rake-free head-to-heads. Great value for you as a player. So big thanks to them for throwing their name here on this podcast. And remember, use promo code Grinders when you sign up over there to get your bonus. And obviously, pay back a site that's allowing us to give you free content like this very podcast, like the Happy Hour show that we do pretty much every single day. So thanks again to Fantasy Draft. All right, so yesterday I've been hinting at this for the better part of a week, it seems. Because, you know, I'm a semi-suit over at Roto Grinders, so I'm privy to certain conversations, and this has been in the works for a little while, but we made it, obviously made the announcement yesterday that Roto Grinders has acquired Fantasy Insiders, which is a daily fantasy content site that's been around for a while, and this is something that is really exciting for me because it allows me to work with one of my really good friends, somebody who I've got mucho respect for in the daily fantasy space, David Kitchen and his crew. And we invited David on the podcast here today to kind of talk a little bit about that and the history of Roto Grinders and Fantasy Insiders, the future, all that good stuff. David, what's up, man? How are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning, Dan. I'm here.
You are. And we have to let people know, David does the, not quite the graveyard shift over there on SiriusXM, because 10 or midnight to 2 sounds bad. It's actually pretty decent over there for the West Coast. You get a nice West Coast audience.
But it's prime time real estate on SiriusXM.
but this time of year for football season, that's the station is really banging. But man, that's got to do a job on like the sleep schedule, because I've done radio for, well, the better part of, let's see, I'm 38, got into the business at 22. Do the math, that looks like 16 years. And when you do a radio show, people don't realize, like, you're so amped up afterwards. Like, there's no way that you're just like, okay, show's over, I'm going to bed. At least I couldn't do that. I've got way too much energy after broadcasting to be able to like fall asleep. So I'm guessing, like, do you have that same problem with the shows?
There definitely has to be some wind down time, because especially at the end, you're answering people's calls and questions. You know, you get all the truckers with their questions. Hey, I want to drop Odell for this ankle sprain he's got. What do I do next? Like, you've got a bunch of different stuff to talk about on that show, because it's like a recap show. And we also did like DFS stuff when it's relevant. But it makes sense this move because fans, the show on SiriusXM is actually mostly season long content these days when they're, you know, when, because football, it's like cash is king, football is king over there on the channel with everybody playing seasonal fantasy football.
Yeah, and if you probably, I'm sure most people might have read the press release and heard exactly the plans, but ultimately the goal is to this football season move the Fantasy Insiders, some of their daily fantasy content into the RotoGrinders premium space. And then eventually, and we'll start this season, but it'll really ramp up for next year, is to turn Fantasy Insiders into kind of a season-long fantasy football brand, an offshoot of RotoGrinders, kind of be our season-long site. And I think it's interesting. You know, this is something which was an idea that, you know, when we first started talking, you know, kind of manifested itself. And I think part of it was because of what you're saying. You know, our XM show, 90% of it seemed to be season-long talk. Anyway, what do you want insiders to become, though? Because there's a lot of season-long sites out there. Let's face it, like, you know, when we started the DFS space, we had a blank slate to basically create what we wanted to. And I want to talk about some of that a little bit later. But with season-long, you know, there's so much competition. There's so many different things going on already. Give me an idea of, like, what you want insider season-long brand to become.
I think the season-long brand is going to be an extension of what the daily fantasy brand was, and that is just a mixture of entertainment and also just information that you can find. Analytics. We've already got some cool tools that we have talked about implementing, and I think one of the difference makers compared to everybody else is I'm not going to lie, like, a seasonal site is much easier to do than a daily fantasy site. When you take a look at all the money that that we had poured into, like, optimizers and the different daily tools and all the daily content, seasonal stuff, for the most part, you know, the traditional thing is a draft kit to prepare you for, like, with rankings. And then, you know, you can plug your league in and see who you need to pick up off the waiver wire. You read who the sleepers are. Like, it's simple. It is simple compared to everything that goes into the daily side. So we want to continue doing those basics, but we also want to do a little bit more. And I think having the RotoGrinders platform is something that will definitely benefit us, having some of the resources that are over there, or over here at RG.
Got to get used to saying that.
Over here at RG is going to be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. For those that do not know, I live in Nashville, and that's my home base. I'm one of the rare Nashville natives, and so going into the RG office, you know, most every day of the week, especially when the third kid arrives soon, it's fun. It's a fun office, and I hope to capture that on the RG side and also on the FI side. But if all these sites, all these season-long sites are getting into daily or trying to get into daily, which, you know, there are some of that I have an issue with. Some of that I think, okay, well, let's all get along. As long as you have good content, as long as you have good people there, let's all get along. But on the flip side, with seasonal continuing to grow as it is, like, it's not slowing down. I think it's important for you know, RotoGrinders to have a season long extension, and that's why I'm thrilled to continue to further the Fantasy Insiders brand, because it's like my baby. I mean, it's like, you know, we worked really hard from the ground up to build that with no outside revenue. It was built with daily fantasy winnings, and now with the RotoGrinders resources behind it, I'm excited to see it take off even more.
Well, I think it's important to learn from experiences. You know, everybody along the way makes mistakes. And my view of, I never get mad when people make mistakes. I just get mad when people don't learn from their mistakes, because then obviously, you know, you're not paying attention and you're not acknowledging your own faults. And I think that's important for everybody. So I wanted you to look back at Fantasy Insiders, and what would you say give me one thing that you think you learned most that you can take from, you know, running that company that you might have either done wrong or that you know, was surprising to you that you think is gonna help you, you know, in this pursuit of making Fantasy Insiders, you know, a big time season long brand.
I made so many mistakes. I mean, that's like, I can't even name all the mistakes that we made. We, you know, everything was done in building the brand. I think one of the first mistakes was just not heavily investing in the tools at first. Like, we had, there's a lot of things that we did right and had a vision for. We were the first, like, software as a subscription site, the recurring revenue site, had the first premium optimizer that's, you know, that actually worked. I think RG had like a beta that they were testing before that. We had the first daily fantasy accuracy award. We had the first morning of podcast, thanks to, you know, you were obviously number one, but you had to do it mid-morning. So we had the first overnight podcast that people could listen to the first thing in the morning. And the biggest thing is mistake was not capitalizing on that stuff. Like, having, like, when you think about it, being the first site to have an optimizer and not capitalizing on it, it just goes to show you there were a lack of resources. And number one, I wish I would have gone to school for computer programming, just because, like,
yes,
some of that stuff is outside of your control. You get frustrated because you can't do what you're wanting to do, or there are problems with it. But there are a lot of mistakes, and one of the, I think, the biggest mistakes is trying to hang on to all the equity at the time and not looking for any sort of outside raises. I mean, it's like we, you know, we built something really awesome, but at the same time, you know, we've seen what these sites that can raise money as far as the daily fantasy sites, like DraftKings, how they overtook all these other sites that wanted to keep on to their equity. I think there's something similar happened with Fantasy Insiders.
Yeah, I mean, I think people don't realize the value sometimes in good development. And like you said, I mean, learning, you know, knowing how to code and doing that is a really important asset when, you know, trying to build and scale product. And, you know, we're lucky we got some awesome people here at Roto Grinders who are doing that. And I think it's something that not enough people like look at and talk about. Like, you see the tools that we have here, you know, even things like, you know, the new database, ResultsDB that we have. I mean, that's just the first iteration. We've got some awesome add-ons that we're working on here that, you know, those things are, you know, they're fun to conceive, but they're really, really hard to build, you know, right. Really, really hard to build. And, you know, maybe too often we don't give those people behind the scenes the credit that's due. But I'll tell you what, they're incredibly valuable in kind of being able to offer the innovative products and whatnot. And I think it's pretty cool to be able to have you, somebody with a very good vision of things, with, you know, now more resources to be able to implement those. And that kind of segues into what you're doing here with RG, as you are our creative director, which is cool.
Yes.
Like, I'm really excited about this, because I don't even think I told you this, but, like, you even pushed me after you left, you know, because I knew that when you left Roto Grinders the first go-around, because people don't know, Dave was the very first, he and I hosted the very first Grinders live shows that ever existed on Roto Grinders. I had this kind of idea that felt like a pretty good one at the time of live broadcasting. Google Hangouts kind of popped up as an option, and we had chatted, I think, on a podcast. And I was like, man, this guy's got a good personality. He'd be perfect for this. And you kind of took the leap of faith with me and, you know, created this Grinders Live. And obviously you see it today. It's a well-oiled machine, amazing production. Right. But it certainly wasn't that at the beginning. And I remember when you left, I said to myself, okay, well, I know Dave's going to do this, and he's probably going to do it better than we are doing it right now. And I kind of got word that you were looking to add more production into what you were going to do live. And I said, okay, this ain't going to work. I'm not going to let him do a better product than me. And it really motivated me to kind of take the next step to kind of get to the level that we are right now with standalone producers and whatnot. And I'm excited now that I have you a part of the team, so I don't have to worry about competing against you. That makes me feel that much better.
Yeah, and on the flip, like, on the flip side, yeah, we were the first. I mean, it's like the niche daily fantasy sports. I kind of applied the same philosophy back then. You know, there wasn't as much research around back then, but I just started researching stuff and eventually found the software that we used, and we were the first ones to use in the industry. And then I remember thinking, please don't let Dan find the software. Please don't let Dan find the software, because we had afternoon shows, as well. But the thing is, producing and hosting at the same time and doing a lot of that stuff, you know, it's a running joke about how I made like a technical error, at least one or two technical errors every show, that I was late to the start. Like, there's just a lot on my shoulders, and I don't have to worry about that now. We can just, like, we can look at solutions, and we have a team to execute it, and there's going to be a lot of cool stuff down the pipeline. And also on the flip side, like, I remember, like, just getting, I had to turn off the RG Twitter feed. I remember getting the Roadrunners newsletter that we're going to restart back up, because every time I got that newsletter, which was only like 2 or 3 months, but every time I got the newsletter, it's like, you just see all the stuff that was going down. And we never, our goal was to never, our goal was always to be the number two daily fantasy site. Like, we knew that there was no taking over RG. And so we always said, let's be the number two site. But, you know, having Roto-Grinders always announce this stuff, it's like, oh, come on, we just got this feature. Now we have to, you know, now we have to keep up with that. Like, it's comforting not having to worry about the new stuff at, you know, at the biggest site, because now hopefully I'll be helping with that stuff. I'm stoked about the creative director stuff. I mean, we're going to be doing some things that, basically, one of the things I'm excited about is getting to do things I'm good at instead of the things I hate or suck at or should have paid people to do at Fantasy Insiders. So, like, we're doing a lot of fun stuff. We're going to have some fun video media stuff, social media. We're going to be implementing a lot of the community into a few projects. So I can't wait. I can't wait for the transition part to kind of be done with, so we can focus on the new stuff at Fantasy Insiders and Roto-Grinders.
Yeah, and in terms of the transition, I know you're reaching out to your subs and getting that all squared away. But what are we going to see from the insiders in the RG Premium product this year? Do we got a game plan on what's crossing over? Because, you know, I know that you obviously have an audience there, and we're trying to build the best premium, you know, product that we can, and being able to add some of those things this year is really exciting. We want to give people as much bang for their buck as they can get. So what's the plan on that front?
Yeah, we've got the Davis Maddox Automatic Absolutes column. It was like the flagship, one of the flagship columns over there at Fantasy Insiders. Just a weekly in-depth column that people came to get used to as far as their research. Also, Sammy Reed with the Reed option, another extensive column that will be available to premium users. And then really excited about the Swolecast with myself and Evan Silva and Davis Maddock, and then Dan Gasper, Mr. Tuttle 05. And, you know, this is a fun show, one that the plan right now is to have it premium And if we can do that, it's, you know, there's a lot of information that we give out on there. We go position by position. We look at different like 2v2s and swaps and put together the start of a team. We won't finish a team. We'll put together the start of a team. But having guys like Silva and break it down and Tuttle from a pure DFS side, and then Davis kind of, you know, mixed in there, and me giving the quarterback in cash, whatever the, you know, the low price quarterback in cash is, like, that's, it's going to be fun. And hopefully, like, my hope, and you know, don't hold us to it, at least initially, but my hope is to have it transcribed also on the site, so that people can go position by position if they missed it, and either follow along while reading, you know, some of the bullet points that were made on the show, or if they just missed the show, they can go and, you know, just quickly scroll down the article and see who some of the favorite plays are.
Yeah, I think that show is, you know, one of the, it's a great hybrid between entertainment and information that you can get. And I think that's the key to be building, you know, successful daily fantasy content that, you know, kind of differentiates itself from everything else. And you guys did an awesome job with that. So I know that's one thing we are very, very stoked to kind of bring on over. So let's see, what else are, I mean, you're, you know, you obviously play DFS, but NBA is your deal, right? That's your thing.
Yeah. I mean, I have enjoyed playing baseball because of the SiriusXM, the show, like having to do the seasonal stuff and following along the seasonal stuff, and also the daily side of things. Had a nice little win back in May on Cinco de Mayo. Yep. So that it wasn't like Dan Bach money, but you know, it was a nice little nuggets to have. But they're, you know, as far as like playing daily fantasy, I'm excited to also, like, a lot of times I was handling like business stuff. I'm excited that I'm in an office that, you know, around 5:30 Central Time, you got most of the office that just transfers to Daily Fantasy, and it's perfectly okay. There's no like boss button where if if Cal walks behind, you have to switch to spreadsheets. Right?
No.
Like people are researching and like calling out news, and I hear the NBA is even crazier. So this is something that I'm looking forward to, is having an office environment that, you know, not just allows daily fantasy play, but also encourages it, really. And I think that's how we get better. I think that's how new tools are born. So I'm excited to get back into the DFS landscape even more.
Yeah, I'm jealous. You know, I work from home. I live in Jacksonville. But the RG office is really
awesome.
One of the best places you could possibly work, both in the regards to, you know, the fun of it, you know, how casual it is, yet, you know, when you get into those meetings, and you start the back and forth, you know, the productivity goes through the roof. But like you said, there's also no expectation, like, you know, if you're not building lineups the final hour before roster lock, feel like something's kind of wrong with you. Like, you know, you should be doing that. You know, it should be building lineups and then working on, you know, what you're tasked to do in daily fantasy on the site that day. So it's a great environment. And I know you've been working out of your basement for God knows how long. It's going to be nice to have personal interaction here, right, Kitchen?
Yeah, this is like a... honestly, like, not to get like too deep into things, but this is like a time of almost like healing for me, where I mean, right now I'm in a basement and the windows are closed. Like, sometimes I would forget like to even open up the windows, like in the basement that it opened up to the ground floor. There's something to be said about interacting with people in person and having that feel, as far as you're making a difference, like casual conversation. But as far as like a time of healing, when when you are responsible for the whole site, and we talked about all those mistakes I've made, and you know, having to sit by the computer and answer all the customer service questions if something breaks on development side, like, you know, having to be in charge of the upcoming season, having to also host, like, it was a lot. And it was something where I thought, you know, it honestly happened around the time that you and I did that host mashup together on SiriusXM. Like, you know, this would be really cool. This would be really cool to walk into an office, not have, like, not hear the footsteps of crying babies upstairs, and basically focus on what I'm good at and leave the stuff that I sucked at to the people that specialize in that area. You know, it can get frustrating. And I have loved so far going into the office. The office environment is completely different than the typical office environment. Like, they're like, you know, if you get here, I think it was Cam that said, hey, are you planning on being here before 11? I'm like, probably. Like, I don't know if that was a test at first. Like, if he was testing me, he's like, okay, I should probably get you a key, because normally people don't start rolling into 11.
Dave, I think my first time I went to the office, this is years ago, I got there at 9 o'clock and I sat outside the office for like 2.5 hours because nobody showed up until like 11:30. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, what's going on? Like, do people actually come here? But it's funny because it makes sense though, you know, because nobody's leaving there really before roster lock. You know, you're staying there till 7 Eastern, 6 Central. So no reason to kind of deal with traffic going into Nashville. But it was an eye-opening thing for me. I drank more coffee that morning than anything because I was like, what is going on here? So, but that's the kind of casual atmosphere that we kind of have there. Okay, you know, we don't want to spill the beans in terms of you know, all the cool creative stuff that we're going to do moving forward. But give me, like, let's give the peeps, like, one idea that you might want to implement at RG here in the next 6 months. Because you're creative. You're the creative director. So what should we get creative with?
I mean, are you're okay with me kind of giving an idea out?
An idea? Yes. You know, if you only have one, then we're in trouble. Okay.
No. Like I just don't want, you know, one of my main jobs there as creative director, I feel like, is just to spend money.
That's
on
it.
Stuff and give away money. But okay, if you're allowing me the creativity to spill the beans, I think one idea that we have is like more media stuff that's on the evergreen side of things that we give players a certain, not like nothing like astronomical, but we give players the same amount of money in a staked competition. And we see how they use it over the period of time, like, or we give them certain challenges as far as, you know, we say, all right, tonight you have to do this, or we give them like a scavenger hunt over the course of a week. You have to enter these certain competitions. And at the end, let's see who has the most money left. And let's see if you do that, you get another prize or you get to move on to the next round. Like I want to involve more of the community in some of the shows because I think that's entertaining. I think that like having shows that show the process, like maybe having a mentor or something paired with each one of those people and showing, having a live reaction to something that happened good or something that happened bad. You know, maybe they win the Millie Maker. Like there's all sorts of options, but just showing that and having people be entertained as they learn. You know, maybe someone would never click the video that it would never come to Roto Grinders typically, but maybe they see the video up on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, and they watch this clip of these people. It's like an entertaining episode of like the Pawn Stars and like trying to whatever, like further your bankroll, and they learn something while they're doing it. And on the flip side, it gives some pretty cool opportunities as well to some of the members of the community. So, yeah, it's going to be like a Robin Hood, see what you do with it, come back to us.
A Robin Hood mixed with like ESPN Dream Job. Remember ESPN Dream Job? Remember that back
in the day? I do remember that, where they had all the announcers. You probably remember it more than me, because that was your cup of tea back then.
Yeah, there was. I remember that a good bit. And I think that's kind of potentially what we're looking at here in terms of maybe giving people an opportunity to compete and play. I don't say at a level that they're not accustomed to, but I know where we're going with this. And I'm pretty pumped if we can actually pull it off. So,
yeah, $1 million.
$1 million. What do you think about the industry in general right now? You know, there's a lot of a lot of conjecture about where things are going. And I'm actually really things have turned here a good bit for me. We see this company in Draft, and I actually think Draft is going to be central, believe it or not, in a lot of the stuff you do on Fantasy Insiders. I mean, this best ball content that we have has been tremendous. And the games themselves, I mean, they're highly addicting. They're fun to play. You can play for $3 and you're drafting a team live. And, you know, that site is spending, you know, millions of dollars this year to gain more customers. And you know it as well as I do, you know, if you're running any sort of live draft sort of site, you have to have lots of liquidity, so therefore you're not waiting around. And I think they're going to solve that problem really, really quickly. And I think that best ball game is something that, you know, you can play year round, and it allows people to still have some, you know, monetary skin in the game in fantasy football in January, February, March. It might sound stupid to a lot of you out there, but let's face it, I don't care who you are, I think it's more fun to be drafting when you have something on the line. And even if you're drafting in February, guess what? Everybody's still in the same place. Nobody has more information than the other guy in regards of what the future holds. Obviously, that's the research, what we're trying to accomplish with it. But I think that market is going to grow tremendously. I mean, we were just waiting for a site to do it, and Draft did it, and they did an exceptional job. And I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah, definitely. And they're going to create more features that I think allow sites like Fantasy Insiders to capitalize off of it, where, you know, you can have a dashboard and you can see the players that you've drafted or maybe even draft from Fantasy Insiders, like with their API. Like there's all sorts of stuff. Seasonal fantasy football is not just one season now. It's not just the fall. It's now everything, and you see the seasonal side of things expanding, as far as it's not your traditional PPR, half point PPR. Now you have the super flex leagues. Now you have the dynasty leagues that are getting more and more popular. You have the best ball sites that will start up right after the NFL draft. You've got all these sites or all these different ways to play, because let's face it, the seasonal industry is pretty mature.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot of people playing, and you get a lot of people that are honestly used to one style of game, and they want to venture out and they want to add another. You know, they want, just like people do with their daily fantasy games. The reason why that DraftKings has this $1 billion free roll, like $1 billion free roll. I think you could hear the air quotes I was using just now. So you have the people they want people to play from the daily side of things. You know, I feel good. I think it's gradually going to improve. I think sites have learned a lot from the mistakes that they've made.
Yep.
You know, this has been just one big learning opportunity, I think, for everybody. I still think that daily fantasy is going to be very, very popular. Obviously, there's the whole sports betting stuff that could potentially open up, which I think is just going to aid in the different games. Because even people that sports bet, like, sports betting is fun, and there's parlays, whatnot, but listen, there's no comparison as far as sweating games, daily fantasy versus sports betting.
Not so, even close.
Yeah, I think it opens up some even doors further on down the road. But you've got all sorts of opportunities in the daily space. I still think that there is room for these hybrid leagues. I was glad to see FanDuel come out with that this year. I still think there's room for an auction-based draft as well. You got the pick'em. Like, if they bring out, like, if DraftKings brings out the pick'em, which was what Draft Street and kind of Draft Day used to. Draft Day used to have two players. Like, you pick the pick five. Remember that?
Yeah.
You would they give you two options each tier, and if you got all five right, you
Star Street as well.
Yeah, Star Street did. Oh man, that was great. Star Street, with, because people may not realize that Peter Jennings, CSU Ram, was with Star Street at the very beginning, which is where Jeremy Levine, the head of draft, started. But Peter, a couple of times, put the wrong player in. It was like the same, I forget who it even was, but it was the same name, but the wrong team. So you immediately had a free square there. And one night he cost that site a few bucks. But there, yeah, if we can roll out the pick'em again like Draft Street did, let's roll out some of the other stuff that they did as far as, you know, let's have more drafts, more live drafts. Because like you said, they have the liquidity. Let's also roll out the Draft Street feature that you could search for players above you that had a certain player in the game. Oh, that was such a great feature, and no site for whatever reason has it. FanDuel, DraftKings, like if you're fifth in a qualifier, you could have searched for like Blake Griffin to see who above you had Blake Griffin, and it'll give a check mark to all the people like in the top, you know, whatever that had that player. Like, those are some of the features that I think they can still implement. I want to see open APIs and further APIs so that sites like RG can capitalize off that and create even cooler stuff. Like, this is the stuff I want to see in the industry, but the industry's not going anywhere, not by a long shot. I think it's just kind of getting its rebirth going this year.
Yeah, I kind of am with you. And, you know, I'll be surprised if DraftKings and maybe FanDuel, but certainly DraftKings, doesn't adopt a kind of best ball format themselves post NFL season this year. Like, I mean, it's silly not to. You know, I know people will look at it and be like, it's all about churn. They don't want money locked up. But I think it's kind of like separate entities here. Like, I don't look at my best ball games that I'm playing on draft right now and remotely looking at it in the same light that I do my regular kind of drafts, my day-to-day drafts that I do. Like, just completely separate. Like, I do the best ball games as entertainment for an evening where the wife went to bed early, there's nothing on TV, I'm going to do some drafts here. And you know what? In 4 months from now, if I win those drafts, great. I get a whole bunch of money in my account. But I think there's not a lot of people who are really using those kind of funds in the same light that they're playing DFS. So I think that they'd be silly not to kind of attack that market and kind of get a jump start on the fantasy football world much earlier. So I'd expect them to do that. You know, I've been saying that they should have been doing the snake drafts for a while. I get that it's hard to build out, but I'm also wondering if, you know, draft coming to market is going to kind of
it'll push them,
change their tune a little bit and say, hey, let's invest in this, because clearly there's a market for that when you've got liquidity of players. I mean, there's a market for it when Draft Street was around, you know, 5 years ago. You know, they offered 10-man drafts that would fill. Today, with the number of players that we have, those games would be, you know, in football season this year on draft, I think like 10 mans are going to be filling, you know, in like less than a minute, you know.
And there's a market for even like in season stuff. I know that's a large undertaking, but here's the thing. A lot of the seasonal sites that are out right now that you have to pay to play. First of all, the rake is just ridiculous. Like, I mean, they They take like people think that DFS is bad. It's like 30-40%
CBS is like 40%. It's insane.
Right. It's bad. And most of the current sites right now, they just have not invested into either A, design, or B, technology. And, you know, they're being kind of left behind. And I think with the resources that that DraftKings and FanDuel and Draft is having now, like, I think they could build a cool seasonal product. And again, you can mirror stuff and implement stuff from the daily side of things. But even look at, I mean, if DraftKings is selling ads, right? If they're selling ads on their site, if FanDuel is selling ads, they could get a lot of people to sign up for their money season long leagues if they started it, and you know, and have a spot to advertise those Boogie Cousins prank videos.
And I'm not gonna lie here too, and I think one criticism I really have, like, I think FanDuel's restructuring of their season long leagues are great. But how crazy is it? Like, I think there's this concept that everybody has friends. That everybody has friends who want to play fantasy sports. And that's right. Not 100% true. Like, it makes no sense to me why you wouldn't roll out public leagues for people to jump in. Because I'll tell you right now, I would love to be playing in more of those on a public setting. Exactly. But the only way you can play in those kind of season-long DFS hybrid leagues are via invites. Now, clearly, like, you know, I kind of have a platform. I've got, you know, a lot of followers on Twitter. I could probably do that, but I also...
Sick brag, bro.
That was a major, major, major brag. But most people don't. And they might want to be able to play those games, and they can't do it. And it makes no sense not to have a public lobby on those kind of season-long leagues. I think it's a huge, huge fail by FanDuel on that front. And the sad thing for me is, like, this is year two of that. Like, I think their first iteration had flaws. They fixed some of those flaws this year, but it shouldn't take 3 years to get a product right. And, you know, I think that's the problem with some of these DFS sites, is they're not, I almost feel like they're not reaching out to players and garnering the suggestions on what they should build. They get too much stuck in their head. This is the way it has to be. And then you get situations like DraftKings last year with late swap and them taking it out, and it was a complete disaster. And
right. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully we learn from those things, but and hopefully Draft pushes the boundaries even more to show that we can do, you know, as an industry. And I think another example of why Fantasy Insiders and RG will be an important pipeline, because a lot of people will come to Fantasy Insiders later on down the road and be introduced to Roto Grinders and be, you know, implemented there. And if the sites come out with these hybrid leagues, then boom, we have already some great opportunities there. But on the flip side, like, we're going to be capitalizing at first to introduce the Roto Grinders customers to Fantasy Insiders. So hopefully it'll be a very good back and forth. But, like, I remember being last year, and this was, like, dead serious for, like, a few seconds. It first started, like, kind of a joke, and I'm like, okay, let's do this. But, you know, was talking to Adam Levitan and Drew Dinkmeyer and Al Zeidenfeld and Andrew Wiggins, guys that are good buddies of mine. And we were talking, and we're like, man, we should build a best ball site. And then, like, we started looking into it. Like, we started looking into what that would require, the initial investment, because we knew that there was going to be some spots to do that. There was going to be an entry because, you know, there was only one site doing it. They just didn't look like they were trying to really increase the brand that they were doing. They just were happy rolling it out as a part of their seasonal product. And so we thought there was a good opportunity to kind of get in there with good design. And then I remember at the RG party in Nashville last year, talking to Jeremy there at Draft, I'm like, have you thought about best ball stuff? And he's like, yeah. I think we'll have it on the docket. And I'm like, okay, I'm not really sure how serious you are right now, because how nonchalant you just act with that answer, but I think it'd be really important. So long story short, I'm glad Jeremy is he is definitely a visionary. He capitalized on this. I'm excited to see how he does in the future. Like he found his niche, and I think he's going to expand that into broader horizons, especially with the Paddy Power behind him. But yeah,
I mean, that's the key though too, because like typically I think the biggest thing that people spoke about, or my biggest thing about innovation, was if somebody built something good, by the time they get to a level of trying to get it to a mass market, FanDuel and DraftKings will replicate it and basically squash them like the cockroach that they are, to quote Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank. But that didn't happen in this case. And I think that, you know, Jeremy was able to, you know, go out and get an unbelievable partner out there in Paddy Power Betfair, who's, you know, what, 6 billion euro market cap. Like, they've got money to spend. They were trying to get a footprint here in this country. And I feel like if he waited a year, and FanDuel and DraftKings had already come out with their own kind of draft app, their own sort of best ball, their own, basically, they have built that product. I don't think I don't think it would have worked. I think that people would have been like, I've already got a place to play. And he took advantage of that. And that's kudos to him. But how much does that fall on the sites for? I mean, let's face it. They knew that he was building that, didn't they? I mean, you think it simply boiled down to, we're not worried about it? Or, I mean, there's always something to be said for keeping out competition if you can by beating them to the punch. And neither of them did it.
And not to play revisionist history, but if they did do it, that they would have had a lot better case on that merger, because they would immediately be in the season long territory. That's my thing. I feel like an easy thing. Well, easy, quote unquote, it would have been a thing to implement that would have given them a much better shot at the whole no monopoly thing, because they would have immediately been in the season long territory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a whole different conversation for another day. Don't get me started on that.
I'll be here all for the rest of your life. I'll be here, Dan.
He is David Kitchen, fantasyinsiders.com. All the season-long stuff that we are offering this year is going to be absolutely free, right? Like, I mean, I'm assuming you're going to have weekly rankings and stuff like that on the site?
Yeah, we'll have rankings, we'll have tiers, we'll have cheat sheets, we'll have familiar faces, again, with a podcast about to start up. So as soon as we get the transition done, we'll be focused on the season-long side of things. If you have any ideas... If you're a college kid out there, we're going to set up an internship. Even better if you're located in Nashville. But we had the intern Addy last year, or this past summer. He's been great. We want to incorporate more of that stuff. And if you have ideas, that stuff, just reach out to me on Twitter. Reach out to us, anybody really, and it'll probably get to me. Post it in the forums. We'll hopefully have some sort of sign-up page for that as well.
All right. He is Soccer Dave, David Kitchen, with us here today on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. You'll be seeing him all over the place at rgfantasyinsiders.com, and really excited to transition some of their DFS content into our premium this year. Thanks a lot, David. And, I don't want to wish you good luck, because, you know, I have high expectations here of you. So it's not going to take luck. It's going to take hard work. And looking forward to working with you again, bud. It's been too long.
Yeah. Best of luck in your matchups, Dan.
You nailed it. All right. We ran a little bit long with our good friend David. So let's get to the slate here for you on this Wednesday night. Before we do, quick thank you to Quicken Loans, great supporter of this podcast. It's Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that the home plays a big role in your life and family, and that's why they've created Rocket Mortgage. Now, Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home, refinancing your existing home, and it's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. So if you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th with Rocket Mortgage, you can get that transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient, and our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at a touch of a button. And in addition to your real mortgage approval minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. So Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, please check out rocketmortgage.com/roto. That's rocketmortgage.com/roto. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. All right, we're going to give you the Reader's Digest version of the slate breakdown for you here on this Wednesday night. Pitching-wise, this is what you need to know. You've got Corey Kluber out there. You've got Luis Severino out there. 12-7 for Kluber on DraftKings, 12-3 for Severino. These two are clearly the most talented pitchers here on the slate. Kluber's last start was a little bit of a letdown. He gets a tougher matchup versus the Red Sox, but prior to that start, the guy was electric, and I think he kind of can get back to that here once again against Boston. Can you fit both of these guys in a lineup? I did it on Lineup Builder, and it left me with names like Juan Centeno, Dusty Coleman, Sean Rodriguez. So yes, you can do it, but if you think that, you know, you're going to win GPPs with Juan Centeno, Sean Rodriguez, Dusty Coleman, I would probably think differently. I think you can choose one of these two guys. Getting in both is probably going to be a little bit more difficult. So we've got to find a few alternative options here. Andrew Heaney and Luke Weaver are the value guys that kind of pop here this morning. I just question on how far Luke Weaver is going to pitch in this game. If I knew he was going to get like 95 pitches, I'd probably give him a look here today against the San Diego Padres. Yesterday, Lance Lynn, Chalk Night blew up, and it should have. I think I mentioned that. Like, I felt bad that I ended up playing him in a couple of my games because I just, you know, I didn't like him at all. He just had zero upside in that matchup. Weaver's a pretty decent prospect there for the Cardinals, and he, you know, he's had a cup of coffee in the big leagues already, but he's cheap enough where I think he's in play for us on this slate. Andrew Heaney, again, minus 145 favorite against the Rangers. I don't mind him, this lefty, here today. Again, 5.3. That's going to allow you to get the bats that you really, really want. So I kind of would prefer to kind of go down and get one of those guys from the cheap seats, match him up with either a Kluber or a Severino. And I'm fine with either of them, to be honest with you. You know, Severino is a stronger favorite than Kluber, and he's on the road today. And the Yankees should be in a really good position to pick up the win. And Severino really has turned into an excellent starter this year for the Yankees. The one off the, I don't say off the wall pick, but the one guy that I think could pitch well today could be Ervin Santana for the White, or for the Twins versus the White Sox. Again, a highest total in that game, but you know, I'm just not sold on that White Sox offense at all. And Ervin Santana, you know, he's definitely can provide you, you know, 20 DraftKings point games. It's been a while, but he's got a 26, a 23, a 37 mixed up in there. And against the White Sox, I think this isn't a bad spot for him at home, but he's not that cheap over there on DraftKings at 9K today. Over on FanDuel, a little bit cheaper at 8,600, but I think that's a matchup that that we can kind of take advantage of. So that's kind of the path for me at starting pitching in terms of the bats for us today. Obviously, it kind of depends on where you're looking. I think that the Yankees are in an excellent spot today against Jordan Zimmermann. And I'm kind of the Todd Frazier whisperer. I kind of called a dong yesterday, but I think he got a triple. Like, that's pretty good. So, you know, the Yankees here against Zimmermann, from top to bottom, they look really sexy. You get guys like Aaron Hicks today at under 4K, Judge at 4-6 against Zimmermann, Gary Sanchez hit one yesterday. So I'm back on the Yankees bandwagon a good bit today and think that they can, you know, put up some offensive firepower against a guy who's been one of the worst pitchers in the league in my eyes this year, in Jordan Zimmermann, who's, you know, kind of been around all that long. The Cubs today against Wojciechowski, another team that scored a pile of runs yesterday but didn't really hit many deep. Wind seems to be blowing out there in Cincinnati. I'm not too interested in Reds today. Mike Montgomery's sneaky decent. Like, he's never a guy who's going to win you anything, but not a guy that you want to stack against, in my opinion. I kind of overlook Zach Godley a little bit today, too, but he's too expensive to me at 9.7. It's just, here's a memo to you from me. Let's not play Mets today. No more Asdrubal Cabrera, no more Travis d'Arnaud, no more Wilmer Flores. I'm tired of playing these guys and them doing squadoosh in my lineup, so I'm going to kind of avoid that one potentially like the plague. The Seattle Mariners against R.A. Dickey, not a bad spot there out in Atlanta. Another wind blowing out, 83 degrees, and, you know, team total right around 5 today. The Twins, you know, as I kind of said yesterday, I said, like, I think the Twins can score some runs. I just can't figure out where it's going to come from. Now, they didn't score that many yesterday, but Polanco had a home run, Vargas had a home run, Rosario had a home run, so they had 3 home runs in that lineup. But again, it gets back to the same thing I talked about yesterday. Like, good luck figuring that out. James Shields, a garbage pitcher, so I think if you want to roll, you know, a guy like Brian Dozier in cash games, it makes a ton of sense today. If Kenny's Vargas is in the lineup again at, 3-6, against James Shields, I really like the value there. Even Jason Castro today at under 3K on DK and cheap on fantasy draft is a guy to look at tonight. Giancarlo Stanton, all he does is hit home runs. He's on the slate today, so he's going against Mark Leiter Jr. Not a, I don't say a blood relative, but not the son of Al Leiter. Okay, I made that mistake on radio once and kind of got made fun of, but yeah, Giancarlo Stanton is absolutely locked in at the plate. He's 5,700. He and Mike Trout. The funny thing is, if you put Heaney and Weaver together in a lineup, you can basically get anybody and everybody that you might want onto your team today. I don't think I'm going to go that. I'm not going to punt that far here today. Some underpriced guys. Jose Bautista at just 3,100 against Austin Pruitt today. Looks way too cheap. Matt Carpenter, I think he's a great cash game play for you. In particular on fantasy draft and DraftKings. Moderate salary for him in a matchup versus Chacin. He's been dreadful versus lefties pretty much this season, but versus righties, he's been just fine, and I like him a good bit. Caleb Cowart is a guy who's kind of been sneaky good, if memory serves. Now, nobody gets excited about rostering guys batting in the 9 hole, but this guy has, I guess, home runs in 2 of his last 4 games, and might be a GPP flyer for you. 4,500 on fantasy draft, 2,300 over there on DraftKings against Andrew Cashner. Obviously not a guy, it's a core play for you, but if you need a crapper because you're paying up for pitching, there's another option for you today. We saw Yan Gervis kind of go crazy last night, 3,400, 6 RBIs. Anytime you get a cleanup hitter, and if you don't think, if you're not on Luke Weaver today, you know, playing some Solarte at that lineup order at that price point, not the worst move there. They're probably going to have a lot of time in that bullpen there for St. Louis, especially if Weaver's on any sort of pitch count, which I think he might be. So give him much consideration today. Rhys Hoskins, another guy that we got to look at. Over on FanDuel, 3,100, DraftKings, 38, Fantasy Draft, 76. And he's starting to, you know, live up a little bit to the hype. 3 consecutive games with home runs. Been double digits FanDuel points in 4 of his last 5 games. So he is still underpriced against Justin Nicolino, who people will say is one of the worst starters out there. Phillies could be an interesting stack today. We don't have a game total on this one right now, but you look at the salaries on these guys. Cesar Hernandez, 3.3. Galvis, 3.7. Hoskins, 3.8. Franco, 3.0. That's too cheap against a guy who I think achieves gas can status and Justin Nicolino. So I know nobody ever feels good about stacking Phillies, and that kind of bodes for me as well. But if you want to get top pitching options, that's maybe one path to being able to do so. All right, and let me see if we've got any quickie FanDuel plays for you. A couple of value options. Again, if you're paying up for pitching over there, you can get Brandon Moss at just 2.3K against Senzatala, who has really not been good. He got off to that really good start this year, and that might be a sneaky game to look at. 9.5 out there in Kansas City is a fairly big number at a with the wind blowing in at 76 miles or 76 degrees. So I don't hate some Kansas City Royals one-offs. Brandon Moss in particular, super cheap over on FanDuel at 2.3K. And even Trevor Story on the opposite side at 2.5 at a shortstop position, which isn't a whole lot of fun to roster. Give them some consideration today. Yeah, I think that's kind of covering who the guys that I'm kind of looking at today. So play your Yankees, play some Phillies today. Tommy Joseph on FanDuel, 2,100. Nice punt for you if you're playing Corey Kluber to get in some big bats. Don't mind him. So there you go. I want to thank David Kitchen of Fantasy Insiders, now part of Roto Grinders, for joining us in this conversation about industry, what he has planned moving forward. Great guy. You're going to see a lot of him. I know we've got so many new members since he's been here, but if you're not familiar with him, great personality, sharp mind, and going to be adding a lot of fun things to the Roto Grinders platform, which we're excited about. So, but that does it for me. Back again tomorrow, I believe on a Thursday, so we'll have to check how many games we've got on that one. Definitely check out the Morning Grind, though. Stevie will have you covered for the split slate of games that we have on Thursdays, so he will cover all the early games for you on that podcast. Thanks again for checking us out here. Give us a review over there on iTunes, and until next time, I'm Dan Bach wishing you best of luck.